We're going to talk now about mental health, particularly as it pertains to young people. And I'm joined by Calum from local charity, the Charlie Walla Trust. Good afternoon, Calum.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Thanks very much for coming in. Now, first of all, who was Charlie Walla?
So, Charlie Walla was a very friendly, very kind, very popular young man. He came from a very loving and very supportive family where he was the eldest of three brothers. He, by all accounts, was described as the life and the soul of the party. He was doing very well in his professional career in advertising. He was excelling at that. And he was a talented actor as well as a very formidable rugby player. So on the surface of it, Charlie was doing very well in life, had everything going for him and had everything to live for. But very tragically, in September of 1997, he took his own life following a battle with depression. And he was 28 years old at that time. So the charity was actually founded very shortly after his death by the Walla family with a mission to help educate young people on mental health, particularly depression, so that they could recognize signs in themselves and others, so they knew how to access support and where to access to support. Where to access that support, and generally so they could look after their own mental health. And I think that is very important in the context of the time, because whilst we are very good now as a society about talking about our mental health, this was nearly three decades ago, and so the landscape was very different. There was a lot of stigma still attached to things like depression and suicide, and just mental health in general, and talking about it just wasn't something that happened at the time. So the mission of the charity was really to normalize that conversation and to open up that conversation.
So with Charlie Walla, even his best friend and family, I believe, didn't know he was struggling.
Yeah, I think it's very often, as I say, he was doing very, very well in everything, and on the surface was very happy. He was described as being very creative, very, very lively, and unfortunately, the depression got to a point where he felt that he was no longer able to carry on. I think it's important to think about the fact that depression does look very different in a lot of different people, and quite often, unfortunately, it's not particularly obvious, and so that's why we do the training that we do and we deliver the work that we do to help people understand and recognize it, so that they can potentially offer support to the people around them, their loved ones.
So you've got your mission, that's clear. So how is it done in practical terms? How do you move forward with that mission?
So primarily our work is around educating those with responsibility for young people. So we work very closely with schools, colleges, universities, workplaces, as well as parents and carers, to deliver a whole raft of mental health training, which is on a whole variety of different subjects. So depression being one of them, but we also offer training around eating disorders, anxiety, suicide, self-harm, and lots of different things. So the training that we do is free at the point of delivery. So it's an important part of the work that we do, that we feel that people should have access to that knowledge and that understanding. And where we perhaps slightly differ from other charities is that we feel that it's very important for people to understand their own mental health, and be able to find the support that they need. But we also want to create those bubbles of support in places like schools and colleges, so that people have a network around them, so it's not just themselves looking after their mental health, it's other people with responsibility for them as well.
And this would be in, if you like, formal ways, you know, counsellors available and on notice boards, that sort of thing?
So the training that we do, so all of the training that we do is very evidence-based. So it is delivered by primarily our network of experienced mental health trainers. So the training itself looks like, so there's lots of different ways that we might deliver that training. So it might be, for example, a webinar or a workshop. It might be through providing written, printed resources on a variety of different subjects. So generally, we are trying to deliver training that is very practical. So for example, one of the things that we do, we have a resource around self-harm, which helps parents or carers or educational staff, depending on the type of resource that's being used, to actually guide them through conversations with young people about self-harm, for example. So the work that we do is very much trying to offer people the tools to deliver practical support in a way that means that they can help those young people. And again, that support is offered. We tailor that level of training depending on the audience. So it might be that the training looks slightly different if we're working with a school versus working with a parent or carer, because those conversations will naturally be very different.
And recently you've been in the news because of your animated campaign. Just tell us about that.
Yes. So back in December, we took part in the Christmas Challenge with an organisation called Big Give. And it seems very long ago now. It seems very strange to be still talking about Christmas. So Big Give is a match funding organisation which pledges to match donations received during specific periods. So the Christmas Challenge from Big Give is one of the biggest that they do in the year. So we took part in this challenge with the goal of raising around £50,000. I'm really pleased to say that we actually exceeded that, and we actually in the end raised about £61,000, which is really incredible. And the cornerstone of that campaign was an animated video that featured the voices of real children and young people to showcase the impact and the work that we do as a charity and the support that we offer to young people at all stages of their life, particularly during very transitional periods which can be quite stressful, such as moving from primary school to secondary school or starting work for the first time. And yes, the video was a really lovely, very succinct but a motive way of demonstrating what we do in about 2 minutes.
And you had, as you say, real people, which doesn't often happen, does it? It's actors very often.
Yes. And I think it's always very nice when we can get real people talking about their experiences or just lending their voice, because it does offer that kind of level of authenticity. So yes, that was very good. And I should say actually that we won an award for that campaign. So Big Give named us best UK charity for the campaign that we did. So that was a really lovely honour, particularly as so many other charities also take part in that particular fundraising challenge.
And as you say, these transitions, it's huge when kids go to university. And I think there's a thing called second term syndrome as well as the first term, which can take place as well. So, yes, transition. Now, you have your headquarters in Newbury, and it used to be in Thatcham. How important is that base?
I think it remains very important. You know, it's for us to be positioned still in West Berkshire. We are a locally based charity, but we are a national charity, so we deliver our services across the UK. But you know, our origins are very local. We were set up. We were founded by a local family following a tragedy that happened to them, and it's very important, I think, to still have that sense of the roots that we came from. I think it still very nice for us to be able to we still see the Waller family, so Mark and Rachel, who founded the charity, they were Charlie's mum and dad, so they still come into the office every so often. So I think that we by maintaining that connection to our roots, I think it just continues to remind us of Charlie's story and the reason that we do the work that we do.
And you were telling me earlier about the size of the charity in terms of people. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the charity has grown a lot over the years, and you know, I think it very much started when it was founded. It very much started as something that just the Waller family were doing, and it grew. I think we went from something like 5 permanent employees to about 25 now in our current office, and we're continuing to grow, and that is really important because that means that the scope of the work that we're doing is continuing to grow, that we're continuing to help more people, and we're able to offer different levels of services with different levels of expertise. So, you know, our fundraising team continues to grow. That is really important. So all of the work that we do is primarily through fundraising. So it's great that we are able to raise more funds, which allows us to deliver all of that training that is so important to people with responsibility for young people.
How can people get in touch with you and help, donate and so forth, or call on your support?
So the best way to get in touch with us and find out a little bit more about what we do and what we offer would be to visit our website, charliewaller.org. So you can donate to us. You can look at any fundraising challenges that we have coming up that you may wish to take part in. In terms of support, we have a whole variety of resources available on our website, which can be downloaded, or you can ask for hard copies to be delivered to you. We don't offer anything in terms of counselling or that more direct support, but if anybody does call us in crisis, we will always try and signpost them to the most appropriate service to get them the support that they need.
Caelum, thank you very much for coming in, and best of luck to everyone at the Charlie Waller Trust. I think we can be very proud of this national charity based in West Berkshire. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.